You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, January the 5th, and a loss, but of much more concern, an injury. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, the Pistons drop one to the Milwaukee Bucks. Brian's got a recap. I've got some thoughts as well. And more on the big injury from the night. What's the latest? What comes next? What could be in the works for a replacement for some period of time going forward, if that's the case? And later on, I'll tell you what former Pistons great is making a big foray into a new industry and what that means for your viewing of Detroit Pistons games. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But let's start with Monday night. The Pistons were in downtown Milwaukee, falling to 1-6, but still a decent feeling about how this game went despite the loss, except for one major thing. Brian's got all the details.
This is your Pistons game recap.
Giannis against DeLon right at the top. There's the wall. The kick. Another pass. Three. No. Giannis rebound. Putback. Yes, he has 43 points.
The Pistons remain winless on the road as they drop their second straight on Monday night, this time to the Milwaukee Bucks, 125-115, to fall to 1-6 on the season in a game the Bucks led from the middle of the first quarter on. Detroit came into the game without Blake Griffin, out resting, and Josh Jackson, who was out with an ankle injury, and they lost rookie Killian Hayes in the third quarter to a hip injury that he would not return from. Milwaukee had a comfortable double-digit lead throughout the game until the fourth quarter, when the Pistons were able to twice cut the deficit to 8. But they couldn't get over the hump and make it any closer. Jeremy Grant picked up two early fouls and had to go to the bench, but came back to score 24 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks in his sixth straight game with 20 points or more. Grant was joined by Derrick Rose, who also had 24 points as well as 8 assists to lead the team off the bench. Wayne Ellington, Svi Mykhailiuk, and Sekou Doumbouya all had 3 3-pointers and 13 points in a game that saw the Pistons shoot 43% from beyond the arc. Mason Plumlee led the team with 8 rebounds and also had 6 assists, as he has shown a very good ability to distribute the ball for the Pistons early in the season. But the Bucks, and more specifically Giannis Antetokounmpo, proved to be too much, as the Greek freak had a season-high 43 points, along with 9 rebounds and 4 assists, as the two-time defending league MVP led Milwaukee from start to finish. Former Piston Chris Middleton scored 19 and had 9 boards, and was joined by Drew Holiday, Bobby Portis, DJ Augustine, and Bryn Forbes as Bucks to score in double digits. Dante DiVincenzo led Milwaukee with 9 assists. The Pistons covered for the third straight game to bring their season record against the spread to 4-3, and the over came in for the second straight Detroit game. Detroit will be right back in action at the Fizzer Forum on Wednesday night to take on these same Milwaukee Bucks at 8 o'clock on Fox Sports Detroit and 97.1 The Ticket. This has been your Pistons game recap.
Detroit basketball!
Thanks to brother Brian for the game recap coming through as he always does, but pointing out 4-3 against the spread for the Pistons, exceeding Las Vegas' expectations and ours too so far. Weird to be overly positive about a team that's 1-6, but that's where we're at here in Pistons land and Pistons fandom, all according to plan for Troy Weaver and company so far this season. However, 12 straight losses now to the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm getting tired of it, just like you guys are. That is getting old for sure. One of my good friends, John, always texts me during the Bucks Pistons games, not to talk junk, but just to acknowledge that this is happening. Once again, he predicted that Giannis would go for 50 after the early going. That fortunately did not happen, but not too far off there We'll see if Wednesday brings any luck for the Pistons. A nice hole that they've dug themselves in tank mode ways that, you know, at this point, getting some wins, not so bad. If you got the win against the Milwaukee Bucks, I'll definitely be rooting for it on Wednesday. And I think even some of the tanking crowd will be rooting for it as well. The 1-6 record, to be safe, to be sure, the worst record in the league right now as I sit here close to midnight on Monday night, a half game worse than the other one-loss team in the league, the only other one-loss team, and that is the Toronto Raptors. Only a year plus from the NBA championship now, 1-5. The current 538.com projections have the Pistons winning 16 games up to the second. That is the worst team in the league by 7 games. A touchdown gets you that worst spot in the NBA, trailing the 23-win Chicago Bulls by 7 games, the projected to be second worst team in the NBA. We'll keep an eye on that one, as your boy predicted the Bulls would be pretty good this year, and tempered expectations, but maybe better than people thought. Certainly that's not a great start so far, although I did like Orlando too, so I'll take a little bit of credit there. Cade Cunningham, here we come. Either way, just a couple more thoughts real quick. I tweeted this. I think Sekou has just looked really good in his second season. Very encouraged by how that's going. I think Dwayne Casey's rewarding him slowly but surely with some more minutes, some strange hiccups in the minutes played. But although I think the plan was to have Svi maybe not play Sunday and play Monday on the back-to-back, kind of reversing with DeLon Wright, and that DeLon Wright wasn't going to play possibly on Monday on the second half of back-to-back, and then Killian went down and DeLon Wright had to be in there. So I think that was kind of the plan. But Sekou, I just think his conditioning and confidence is jumping off the screen to me so far. His body looks a lot better, obviously, too. Not a lot better. I shouldn't say that. He couldn't tell he was out of shape. But now that you see him in shape, you kind of notice how out of shape he was last year. I heard an interview with him before the season started, and he was asked, I think it was a post game after the preseason or something like that. He was asked, what will his conditioning help? And he said everything. And I thought at the time he might just be giving kind of a cop-out answer. Maybe language barrier, didn't want to give a long answer. Maybe he was done talking to George and Greg or whoever it was giving the interview. But I think it turns out that was the best answer he could have given. And he was completely right. And that everything is being helped out by the fact that he's lighter on his feet and getting around better and stronger as well. Feeling like a proud papa about Sekou. That's the guy I wanted in the draft last year. So I know I'm trying not to form the factions of the fan base and that this guy likes him and this guy likes him. And I sound like a middle school gossip right now. But it's not just the anomalies. I think it was last year that Sekou kind of stuffed the stat sheet with anomalies. But now he's doing more things within the flow of the offense. Also being assertive too, driving a lot more, getting all the way to the rim, not just random hot streaks of a couple of threes that are nice too, or his kind of patented cuts to the basket, finding and weaving his way within a soft defense. And again, those are good things. You want those to continue as well. But it felt like cheating to get some stats at times, and they're winning plays. They're not bad things, but you want to see the core buckets within an offense, the core stretches of production, that kind of stuff feels more sustainable long term. We can, within the flow, hit a jump shot, rotate to where he's supposed to be on the three-point line so where he can be open. I remember a shot that Jeremy Grant passed up that he could have taken, drove and dished to Sekou, who filled in the right spot and hit one of those three threes that he hit on Monday night. So feeling really good about Sekou early on. Jeremy Grant, of course, once again, other than the foul trouble early, which was a big part of the reason for the loss. I'm not pinning it on Jeremy Grant, but you know, when Blake Griffin's out like he was and Grant's out early too, Giannis goes off and you got a bit of a problem. Not that Jeremy Grant does a lot against Giannis. Not that anyone does a lot against Giannis when he's going like that. But I thought Grant played well when he was out there. Again, 6 straight games of 20 or more points. And then Derrick Rose, maybe his best game of the season as well. Let's not pour dirt on the grave of Derrick Rose like I talked about on Monday with Blake and Derrick. Derrick with a season-high 24 points, dished out a season-high tying 8 assists in the game. And he entered the game ranked first among NBA reserves in assists per game at 5.8 and 4th among all bench players in points per game, 14.6. That goes up after the game as well with the 24. But speaking of his position, Killian Hayes goes down What does that mean for his development, and what does that mean for the Pistons at point guard? That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But first,
it's Bang the Over Brother Brian, and I can't wait for you guys to join me at my favorite website for online sports gambling at betonline.ag. Are you ready for some football? The College Football National Championship game is coming up. The NFL playoff picture is set and starting this weekend. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Ohio State and Alabama are playing for the College Football National Championship on Monday, and Alabama is an 8-point favorite. Are you into money lines? Ohio State is plus 240 while Alabama is minus 280. BetOnline.ag has the game total at 75 if you want to bang the over on that many points. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, holiday season was tough for some of us, but holiday season was tough for Killian on Monday night as Drew Holiday season got the best of the young point guard from France. Killian Hayes showed a couple of nice flashes early on in this game Wednesday, really up against Drew Holiday as well, but he was mostly frustrated by the outstanding defensive point guard, the sturdy Drew Holiday. I noticed that right when Killian came back in for the end of the first half, kind of his shift, he kind of starts the game and then ends the half as well for the Pistons, and right as he came back in at the end of the second quarter, Holiday was coming in as well, and I kind of rolled my eyes kind of for Killian because I knew that that was kind of probably his worst nightmare at this point. It underscored my thought about how I feel like he should be coming off the bench. I don't really quite get it. I think that he's 19 years old. His athleticism is a bit of an issue, so he's behind the eight ball with some of these guys, especially a grown man like Drew Holiday out there. And he also doesn't seem like the most confident kid to begin with either. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's a 19-year-old kid overwhelmed by the NBA at this point. For some players, it might work. For some, that's a good developmental plan. But for his flaws and his temperament in particular, I think it's a risk, and I think it has backfired so far this year in a big way, really. And, of course, this rookie season that has been a struggle for him so far, and we're only 7 games in, so you don't want to sound the alarm too much, but obviously things are made worse right now by this injury. Holiday got on him as Hayes had the ball near half court and got kind of ran into a brick wall. He tried to turn the corner going left, as he always kind of does, and ran into the brick wall of Drew Holiday and just lost the ball. And as he was recovering in a transition to try to catch up to Holiday, who was getting the pass, he dives for it in a ball that he thought was loose. The injury didn't come on the landing. I could see he kind of took an awkward long step to try to reach for the ball that he wasn't going to get. And you could see the pain in his face already during the step. So it wasn't like he hit the ground too tough, but it's a hip injury. He was out for the rest of the game. Dwayne Casey said that there would be an MRI today on Tuesday and that he hoped it was just a hip flexor. We have no idea as we record this if we're talking about maybe missing Wednesday and be right back in things, or if this is weeks or months or who knows. And this is the kind of thing that, by the way, they might not know how long it is. These kind of things, sometimes hips, they kind of recover as they recover. I had a hip flexor injury, and I know you guys love when I equate my playing days to the NBA out there, but it did screw up my whole high school senior year in soccer and basketball. It was a lingering thing that I never really rested and took care of. So again, I'm pretty much an NBA player, so listen to me here. But it does hurt your ability to move laterally. And when you're a point guard going up against some of the best athletes in the world, that's going to be an issue for Killian Hayes. So I hope he's already got speed issues already. I hope it gets healed as well as possible and that he takes his time coming back, of course. And another issue with this back in my day, and again, I know you guys love this stuff, you can't condition as much as you want, though I'm sure Bernard Condivoe and Jim Schaller and those guys we'll have it figured out on the medical side and hopefully the training side as well. But in the meantime, we'll report tomorrow what we hear on the MRI. I'm guessing short term that we're going to see some DeLon Wright at PG1. Gets the promotion there. He's been playing a little bit more point guard, especially Monday with Killian down, but a little bit more these last couple games. That doesn't do too much to excite me. I've been underwhelmed by DeLon Wright so far, especially with the ball in his hands. He kind of, maybe this is a little bit of a low blow, but a decent shooter, but not doing much else out there to me. A little bit of a T. Snell vibe from him so far. I would like to see a little bit of Frank Jackson. He came on the two-way deal. I don't know why he hasn't been active for games yet. I really would have liked on this roster to see a step up from Frank Jackson. I think that probably has sailed, though. Maybe if they would have brought in a third point guard, a third NBA point guard all along, I think that could have been beneficial, especially knowing that you have a rookie, a 19-year-old rookie, and Derrick Rose, who's going to have minute restrictions and nights off at point guard. I know DeLon was a little bit of the thinking there is that he could pinch hit when needed in these kind of situations, and that's why he's here, and we're going to see how this goes. But, man, some of the end of the roster spot situations, of course, the elephant in the room is Davidas Servetus. I'll leave that one alone today. And the duplicitous Rodney Magruder and Wayne Ellington at the end of the roster as well. I mean, if you had to keep Magruder, if you needed to make that trade with the Clippers and you knew Magruder was going to be on the roster, then why do you need another, you know, shooting guard type of player in Wayne Ellington? I know Ellington adds some good stuff in his three-point shooting. Played well again, by the way, on Monday. But does it matter? Like, why does it matter that Wayne Ellington brings some shooting and plays pretty well sometimes for a team that might, you know, lose more or might not win 20 games? The third point guard situation, you guys know I like Javon Carter from Phoenix. Throw an offer sheet to him this past offseason. Jeremy's brother, Jerian Grant, got a low number from Houston as well. He was out there. Brandon Knight, how about that? But no, we got Frank Jackson, and we'll see how he does. It's a young guy, a former second-round pick out of Duke, so I'm anxious to see him out there, a young guy as well. So maybe he'll be part of the development process, certainly not in a major way, but another young body to throw out there. And speaking of young bodies, Sabin Lee, the second-round pick this year. Hopefully we get some minutes from him going forward as well. No, I don't think that he should be getting the starting job. I think you'll have the problems of Killian starting kind of amplified if Sabin Lee is thrown out there as a less talented version of young Mr. Hayes. The hope is that Killian gets back as soon as possible, of course. But again, when he does, I think it's time. This is a little bit of an opportunity for the coaching staff to bring him off the bench, make him earn some of those minutes, have some good feelings about short stints out there, not against Jrue Holiday, not against Steph Curry, not against Trae Young. Pretend that it's not a demotion. Say, hey, you're working your way back from something. We'll give you some spurts. Work your way back. And if you want to, in the last third of the season, bring him back to the starting lineup and use it as some kind of reward system, that works for me. I didn't like the idea of starting him from day one. And so far, you know, we're not drawing conclusions, but it hasn't been a good run so far. And, of course, the injury pushes things back even more. But speaking of things going well or not going well, something that's going very well is a name of Pistons lore that's up in the rafters, number 32 for Little Caesars Arena. He's back in the news today. I'm going to tell you why, and that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Great segue. Which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. But hey, remember my friends at rockauto.com? You know that the chain stores, they've got different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but Rock Auto's prices are all the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like the airlines do. rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or account login. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and the prices you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at rockauto.com. They're always reliably low, and the same for the professionals as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. East meets West in Locked On NBA Tuesdays. Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors, and David Ramil, host of Locked On Heat, tackle the biggest NBA stories of the day coast to coast. Steph Curry, once again, heating it up, the chef. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I know if you guys have been watching Detroit Pistons games, you've been inundated with online gambling advertisements, DraftKings, FanDuel, BetRivers. I know you've seen plenty of those ads as you've been watching the games. They were talking about them on Fox Sports Detroit as well, as the Bet Rivers halftime stats and all that good stuff. Well, more to come. You know that my day job is covering online sports betting and all that thing, that kind of stuff for PlayMichigan.com. I've got a bit of a breaking news tip for you guys that I found out about, and that is Richard Hamilton. That's right, Rip Hamilton of your Detroit Pistons, number 32 in the rafters at Little Caesars Arena. He is the first former Michigan athlete to be signing on as a sports betting brand ambassador, and that is with the brand PointsBet. So PointsBet is an Australian company. They are going to be one of 15 regulated operators that are coming to the state of Michigan. The Michigan Gaming Control Board is estimating that mid-January there will be a launch of online sports betting here in the great state of Michigan. And if you haven't noticed, mid-January, that's next week. So follow me on Twitter. I will have all the updates about the launch of sports betting here in Michigan. You've heard all about it, and that will continue. PointsBet signed on with the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons already had an official deal with FanDuel and DraftKings and Motor City Casino, but they're not exclusive deals, so they're signing all sorts of a bunch of different deals. And again, Bet Rivers is heavily involved in Pistons broadcasts as well. But PointsBet signed with the Detroit Pistons, and Rip Hamilton is signing on as a sports betting brand ambassador. You're going to see more of these types of deals. Illinois PointsBet signed Devin Hester of the Chicago Bears. And they're signing with the teams. The Detroit Tigers was a big one with PointsBet, the same company, this past summer. And the Tigers were actually the first Major League Baseball team to sign on with an official gambling sponsor sports book. So it's a new thing. It's a new revenue stream for these teams. We know how much money that they've lost from the pandemic, not having the fans on the stands, some of the TV money lost as well. So sports gambling is providing a little bit of a new revenue stream for these teams, and they are taking advantage of it. The Pistons of it in a major way, with all sorts of gambling companies being connected to the team, and you're seeing it in the advertisements as well. MGM, of course, a big name in local gambling, as MGM Grand Detroit is the biggest casino here in Michigan in terms of revenue per year. And they signed on with the Red Wings and also the Lions. So if you go to Lions games in the future, you'll see a lot of MGM signage. BetMGM is the brand that they use for their online sports books. And if you go to Red Wings games this winter, you're going to see a lot of MGM activations as well. So Rip Hamilton, according to a press release, says, "My love for Michigan and the city of Detroit is no secret. I'm incredibly excited to join the PointsBet team and help usher in the fastest, most premium sports betting experience to the best fans in sports. Detroit sports fans will love what PointsBet has to offer, such as an app that is specifically tailored for the teams they support, as well as the most betting options in the world, including up to 1,000 markets per NBA game. Unique product features like their Name a Bet and points betting platforms are an added plus, and the PointsBet app is incredibly fast and very easy to use. What's not to love? Get ready, Michigan. Yes, sir." He actually said that in the quote in the press release, end quote there. So,
yes, sir!
Richard Hamilton, the first, and it's pretty nice prestige for the Pistons to have the very first Michigan athlete to be a member of the Pistons family. So on my end, that's a pretty cool thing, and we'll kind of keep you posted on the news and developments from the sports betting world here in the great state of Michigan. But that'll do it for our show today. That wraps up this edition of Locked on Pistons. I am your host, Matt Shook. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked on NBA. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.